And you know what? Some people really have decided to make a career of evil. You know, one thing I'm delighted to report is that after these many months, the left-right paradigm has been destroyed here on Coast to Coast AM. And I mean that because here's the thing. I want freedom. I don't want it just for me and have some other people over there not have any or have theirs limited. I want freedom for you. I do. You'll be happier. You'll be a happier person. We won't be grumpy and flipping each other off in traffic because our lives are so miserable. It's either take it out on you or take it out on ourselves, which when we take it out on each other, we are taking it out of ourselves. You know what I mean? Here's the thing. Where we are in our civilization here is much like losing weight. Or, as an aviator, I can tell you that it's like gaining altitude. It's easier to lose the weight than to keep it off. It's easier to gain altitude than to hold it steady there. You're almost always in a state of climbing or descending. We have to prove to our government, not the Obama administration or the Bush administration or the Clinton administration or the other Bush administration, none of that matters. It's the government. They're all in on it. Some are better than others. There are some statesmen up there and some states ladies up there too, but not enough. We need more. We, the people, have to indicate to them in a completely unambiguous way that we admit we screwed up. We trusted them. We have to indicate to them that we are not stupid and that we will not continue to just buy this fairy tale they're putting out there. That we are intelligent enough, evolved enough, and engaged enough to be worthy of being told the truth. We can handle it. But it's one thing to know the path and quite another to walk it. I think we better start walking. So, remember, this program is about you. Without you, there is no us. Back with your calls in just a moment. The next one up is going to be Randy in Fort Worth, Texas. Fort Worth, I love you. We'll take his call and just, he doesn't talk like that. I don't either. Unless I'm putting it on. We'll have him next and some more. All right. As we roll on through another Naked Lines Friday night, John Wells sitting in for George Norrie. This is Coast. Okay, Randy in Fort Worth, Texas. Are you there?
Morning, John.
Good morning.
I'd like to request that Coast to Coast do a pro antidepressant drug show as opposed to a antidepressant drug show. I'm finding that the most guest doctors and psychiatrists that are guests on the show are against these drugs. And there are many of us out here that really benefit greatly from these medicines.
You know, I think you're right, Randy. Not enough emphasis has been placed on that. I mean, it got sprinkled in there in that that show on SSRI.
Right.
Drugs recently that, look, some people really need this stuff. I don't think it necessarily was made clear enough that some people need them, but that they are overprescribed.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah, it's known that some people absolutely cannot really live without this medication. It helps them, and they're able to, get to that normal point, you know, where they're functioning, and without it, they can't. But The suggestion was that they're just overprescribed, that's all.
Yeah, I've been off and on them for about 20 years, and whenever I go off of them, I go back to that really anxious panic attack, depressed state, you know, and I have to eventually, you know, go back on them, and that's the only way I'm able to function, you know.
Yeah, if you don't mind my asking, which one are you on?
I take Luvox. and I take occasionally Xanax, and it's mainly for anti-anxiety. And you know, I almost quit my job a year ago because I just couldn't live without them, and I just had to absolutely get back on them, you know.
Well, I appreciate that, and you make a very good point. Thanks for holding on so long. I mean, your message was short, but your point is well taken. Thank you very much, and take care. Uh-oh. Anonymous in an undisclosed location. Double secrets. Are you there, Anonymous?
Hello.
You're not?
I wanted to talk about the two separate governments. And we have the Constitution, which is our government, which... Our politicians are not our government. Our Constitution is our government. And however, if you, for anyone who wants to read, there's a book written in 1928 by a man named Edward Bernays, and it's called Propaganda, and is the handbook on propaganda. And within that book, it states how the invisible government works via propaganda. By playing on all of our emotions. So it's not only our responsibility to teach what's in the Constitution, but we also need to all learn propaganda. So everyone needs to read that book. And if we, because we need to battle on a propaganda level and a common sense level at the same time. And there is a push for a revolution. I can sense it with my sixth sense, and the direction we go depends on our actions. If we have a violent revolution, we're going to have lockdown, and if we can peacefully resist somehow, probably via propaganda, then that's the road to success.
Well, I think you're right. It must be peaceful. We must not turn on each other. You know, as just as a little bright spot here, I was having lunch with a friend today, and I was in the parking lot, you know, supposedly one of the triggers for, oh, you might be a strange one, you might be a terrorist, is if you talk to policemen. Well, I don't agree with that. And I saw this young man stand there, and I just said, well, we got the sheriff's department out here guarding the lot. What's up? And he said, oh, there's been some incidents, you know. And I said, okay. I said, so... said, let me ask you something. He seemed like he was in a pretty good mood. So I just said, what are you hearing from your guys? I mean, anything about this martial law stuff? I know you guys hear everything. What are you hearing? He goes, you know, nothing much, really. And I said, well, I'm not looking at your badge number or any of that. You know, just I talk on the radio sometimes, and I'm just gonna tell them, you know, what I find out there in the world. I said, would you or any of the officers that you know actually fire on U.S. citizens? And he looked at him. He said, absolutely not. And he almost looked hurt that I would even suggest such a thing, or either that or the thought of it. And he said, no, my family, my father, my grandfather, we were, and my uncles, they're all police officers. None of them would do that. And I don't know of anybody that would do that. So that's a little bright spot. I'm sure there's some out there that would, but by and large, I think most police officers are in it because they really do think they can make a difference. You know what I mean? So yeah. I don't think we'll turn on each other. I don't.
I hope not, because there's some people who want to take freedom and there's some people who want to keep it, and we really need to educate the ones who want to take it.
Yes, we do. Well, listen, thanks for the update, and stay healthy, and we'll talk again. Take care. Violet, Shelter Island, New York. Violet, come talk to us.
Hi. Good morning, John. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you. I'm very well. How are you?
I'm very good. We actually spoke a few weeks ago, and you wanted to ask me something further, but we got disconnected. So, you know, maybe we can... you'll remember what your question was as I continue, because I love what you were saying before about truth. We're never going to get it from the government, and so it behooves, you know, it's up to us to, you know, pass along and, you know, talk to each other about stuff. I wanted to kind of talk about some historic news propaganda and then segue into some, you know, current fake news stories.
Okay.
And I was thinking, I was thinking about, for example, the JFK conspiracy, what everything that we've been taught about that event, you know, up, down, sideways, is, I think, totally, totally wrong. I wanted to throw out some what ifs to, you know, to get things started here. What if the real conspiracy is that he was never really killed? What if, you know, he did step on a few toes and he was basically exiled like Napoleon? And, you know, they said, you step aside to do it our way, you know, our dramatic way, and, you know, we'll exile you to some Mediterranean island. And then, you know, Jackie marrying Onassis would be a perfect cover story for, you know, her and the kids to continue, you know, visiting, you know, JFK over in his exile. And then what if maybe after a period of time, you know, 15, 20 years, you know, the powers that be, you know, of his bloodline said to him, okay, you did enough penance, we'll let you back in the family business. Probably,
I don't know.
So to speak.
I don't know. That's pretty good. I think you should write a novel. But he'd be pretty old now. We're coming up on 50 years, and he was, what, 42 years old, something? 40-something. He'd be getting up there. That's a fascinating theory, though. And what was the other thing?
Oh,
you had something else.
There were some people that just find a remarkable resemblance between Carter and Kennedy, and there's some researchers that have actually done, this is what we spoke of, they've actually done, you know, historical, you know, analysis of different photographs and different things where they found, for example, one of the Roosevelts was actually acting as both Hitler and Disney. I think that's what caught your ear. The Roosevelt family has a historical, they tend to claim that they falsely claim that they've been killed or suicides or different things, and then they give themselves new names and start new family lines. So one of the Roosevelts had actually, they claimed he was killed in a war. Then he was actually came out again as Joe Kennedy. And then one of Joe Kennedy's elder kids also claimed he died in the war. And there's some people who claim that he was renamed as Bush Sr. And so basically all these people that are in politics with different names are actually...
Oh, come on. You don't buy that stuff. You can't buy all that stuff. That's out there. That's a product of somebody's really good imagination. But I don't know. I mean, I understand that the families, the ruling class families, if you will, are all, with a few exceptions, very closely related. I'm not sure they're that closely related. Are you sure you're buying this?
Well, you know, don't expect anyone to, you know, be convinced by me, but I could, you know, refer you to some of the researchers that are doing different photographic and video analysis. And to update the story is that a lot of the people that are literally acting as government officials these days are, you know, acting and have several different identities. And I'm not just talking about the allegations about Obama. There is some of these photographs posted on a particular website of one of the researchers.
Yeah.
If you want, I did mention his name before, and you had actually said it might be interesting to get him on the show. His name is Ed Chiarini, Chiarini, and he's got a great website with these photos and videos called WellAware1.com. That's WellAware1.com. And you could, you know, just look for yourself. He does, you know, intricate analysis of different, you know, ears and, you know, moles and different things. You can put on a fake nose and such, but there's only so much you can do with other basics, you know, the formation of the mouth and stuff. And, you know, he's found a lot of literally actors, like, for example, John Goodman from the Roseanne show. Acted as one of the sheriffs, was interviewed as pretended to be a sheriff in the Connecticut shooting, and you faced it. They didn't even try to fake his face. It's him. So, you know, there's certain things where, you know, I just would invite people to look for themselves, because I know this sounds totally far-fetched.
That's completely correct. You're absolutely positively correct. Violet, you are a treasure. Thank you for calling. Thank you very much. Well, I don't know. What do you think? I think nothing would surprise me, but I don't know. I'm not buying it at this moment. You know what I mean? James in Linwood, Washington, on Wild Card Line number 4. How are you?
Hey, pretty good. Pleasure to be on your show. Long time listener. One thing I'd like to speak on tonight is gun control.
Yeah.
You know, that's, I am a Second Amendment advocate.
Yep.
I am a member of the Occupy as well. We don't need gun control. What I feel we need is more mental health.
Yeah.
Just last week, I was very depressed. I had just gotten out of a 23-year-old relationship. Wasn't doing too well, and I needed to go to a hospital to try to get help for myself, and there was none to be found in the state of Washington. They could not find any acute psychiatric hospital to put me in, but they were able to give me back some medications. And like the other guys, about 2 or 3 calls ago, the guy who says you ought to do a show that advocates meds, I totally agree. I myself am on lithium, Boosbar, and saffron. And when I was going through my spell, I wasn't on my medications. As soon as I got my medications back, it was like from night to day. I went from completely depressed to where I was just going to end my life to feeling to where I can handle this. I can handle this, and it hurts, but I can go on with life. And
that's good. I mean, that's what they're supposed to be for. The big problem is the over prescribing them.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I've been on every single kind of medication you could think of, trying to figure out which one was right for me, and then finally found this combination. But I do agree that they over prescribe meds a lot. And they need to improve on their crisis lines. I don't know how to say this any other way, John, right?
Yeah.
Okay, now, I do not advocate what I'm about ready to talk about. I do not condone it, and I feel that it's actually the wrong way to go, but I haven't figured another way out of it. But like I said last week when I was depressed, I did some cutting. And then I was able to slow myself down, and I was able to call the crisis line. And as I was talking with the crisis line, he says, well, what's going on with you tonight? I says, man, I'm not doing too well. I had to do some cutting, and then I'm calling you. And he says, well, why are you calling me?
Well, that's great.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Who did you think you should call?
I don't know. I ended up hanging up on him because it upset me more than I already was, and it's just like, man, I got to figure something else out.
I got to tell you, you know what? You're doing it right, though. It sounds to me like you're sorting it out. That's the important part, isn't it? You're a brother. You're a ray of light. I mean it. All right, back with some more of your calls. I don't know about you. I'm having a blast talking to everybody, so just keep them coming. Everybody that's on hold, please hold your position, and we'll get to you as soon as we can. This is Naked Lines on Coast to Coast AM. Oh, well, there's no telling what will come to mind as you drive through the Cotswolds, you know. All right, well, this is a total blast, and there are people lined up to talk to us from Baltimore and Pittsburgh back down to Texas and out to California and then up a little bit to Oklahoma. So let's do this quick little floating break and get into some elongated testimonials with our friends, the Coasties, on Coast to Coast AM. I'm looking at this FPS Russia quad rotor prototype. You know, some people have said, no, it's CGI and like that. Well, you know what? It's really good, though. It does fly. It does show you what's possible. I don't know if it's CGI or not. Maybe it is. Tiny little gun. Where does it hold all the ammo? Oh, well. Who cares? It's stupid. And if they send one after me, I'll take my BB gun to it, which would probably be a colossally and spectacularly stupid thing to do. Why don't we talk to Fred in Bonny Doon, California, on wildcard line number 3. Fred.
John.
How are you?
I'm doing really good.
Excellent.
Pleasure to be able to talk to you.
Excellent. Goes both ways. What's going on?
Wow. Gosh. I do a lot of reading to get away from pain from an on-the-job disability back in 87, and bedridden a lot, listened to talk shows at night, and little did I know where this would all take me. I changed from novels back in 9/11 to nonfiction in order to find out what's going on in this world to bring those two towers down. And back in starting in 2008, I ended up studying currencies. And so that's the point I'd like to talk about tonight, just real quick. It has to do with the monetary policy of the United States and the form of currency that we have, mainly by central banks. And our debt-based currency and where it's leading us to. And I just find a lot of concern. What do you think about that?
I don't know.
Well,
I don't know. I don't know what to think about it.
Well, back in 1913, the powers to be convinced Congress that through a central bank, they could, you know, manage our money. And, they also, in 1913, wanted to pass a federal income tax because they knew that, you know, coming into the fourth quarter of this Ponzi scheme that they've created, that we're going to need a tax bailout. And indeed, in 2008, we witnessed that firsthand.
Look, did you see this little breakdown of what happens if you remove 8 zeros? It comes out to something like household income, $28,100, just to put it in, you know, layman's terms.
Yeah.
Total amount of money spent over the year, $35,000 and change. New credit card debt, about $16,000. Current credit card balance, $142,000. And total number of cuts, $385.
Yeah. Where it's leading to us, John, well, first thing, the reason why I called tonight is a recommendation. I'd love to see a show concerning some good guests and to break this down for people to understand on Main Street what is happening, because I find a lot of ignorance out there and a lot of frustrated people. I don't know if I can just give you a quick quote here from Thomas Jefferson, maybe to put it in perspective. I don't know if you allow that, but
it'll be just fine.
Okay. This is what Thomas Jefferson had to say about our Federal Reserve System, which is a central bank. It goes like this. The central bank is an institution of the most deadly hostility existing against the principles and form of our Constitution. I am an enemy to all banks discounting bills or notes for anything but coin. If the American people allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation and then by deflation, the banks and together with the corporations will grow up around them, will deprive the people of their property until their children will wake up homeless of the continent that their fathers conquered. And the reason why I find it so very important is that I feel that this country was invaded from within. The other thing is, whenever I hear people expound on the virtues of capitalism and free enterprise, which I think is important, I don't think we have that. If you look at the monuments in the form of investment banks on Wall Street, I think they epitomize what I would term socialism, which is central control. We outsourced back in 1913 the control of our money to a private foreign corporation that's not even registered as a corporation here in this country. And they have more power than anyone. Let's quote Rothschild, who was one of the people involved in getting that pushed through. He said, "Give me control of a nation's money, and I care not who makes her laws." And
well, this is the founding fathers were all in agreement that the debt would do us in.
Yes.
Period.
Absolutely. And it's very frustrating. I never knew when I started reading about currencies exactly where it would take me, and it's very frustrating. And I would really welcome any show, or at least a suggestion on one of your shows to get someone on there to break it down so that the average person can understand what's going on. The other thing I would like to say that to end this is, I always avoided reading a book called The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich because it was such a thick book. You know, the font size is like really micro, and
it's a big old book.
Oh yeah.
is that one by, is that by Albert Speer?
Yes.
Yeah.
And one of the most shocking things that I was totally unexpected was I picked it up in the hopes of learning about what happened in Germany. And when I got into it, I thought I was reading a book about this country.
Oh, I know. It's interesting, isn't it? I've said that before, and people think I'm just trying to be ugly, but I'm not. It's like, yeah. I've read his books, I've read his speeches, and I'm seeing classical 1930s and 40s Germany stuff, you know? And it wasn't the people that did it necessarily. They just followed, but they were all punished.
And you know, this all song and dance that we've been going through here in the last 2 weeks about going over the fiscal cliff is just nothing compared to what's going on the international level.
Oh, I know.
It's we're not $16 trillion in debt. If you take all the funded and unfunded debt up to this point, we are $1.3 trillion. That's $1,300 trillion, and it's we can't pay it back. That's the reality of it. The bind that we're in right now is such that congressmen have approached the Federal Reserve and said, look, we got to cut this out. But when you get to a point where in this Ponzi scheme, where you've got to keep printing fiat currency just to stay moving, they told congressmen, okay, we'll pull the plug. The system will go down, and that's where we're at right now. And it's, I hate to be the bearer of bad news. I'm trying to be a realist here.
But, well, you know, everybody's just going to have to adjust because, you think people tend to think and they want for things to just go on. Really, human beings resist change a lot, but it is sometimes thrust upon us. And I think that the population is waking up. I think the citizenry is becoming more and more engaged. I just hope that I hope we're in time, but we're just gonna have to sit it out and see. Thank you very much for your call, my brother. You take care out there. Let's go at once to let's go over to Pittsburgh, talk to Aaron on wildcard line number 2. Aaron in Pittsburgh, how are you?
Hi, John, how are you?
Doing all right, thanks. You doing all right?
Excellent tonight. Enjoying the show. Absolutely. I'm a long time Art Bell listener from way back in the 90s. That sounds odd, way back in the 90s.
Doesn't it? I mean, I was missing the 80s, and then all of a sudden, now I'm missing the 90s.
You're missing it. I miss it. I think we're all missing it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I love your show. I love your rendition of it. I love your constitutional tidbits that need to be put out there for everyone who's just not educated enough to understand, or maybe not exposed to that kind of information. I think it's fantastic. Anyway, I'm not
glad to hear that. Glad you get something out of it.
Oh, dude, it's awesome. I'm going to throw out a real quick tidbit of information. Not going to take too much of your time. This is regarding the Sandy Hook incident that we talked about earlier. I was listening to your reference to the Batman movie, you know, all the stuff that's out there. But I think that there's more information about this incident that hasn't been fully exposed to the mainstream public, and that is covered in a YouTube video that is not of my making. I have no affiliation with this person. It's called the Sandy Hook Cover-Up Dash Full Movie. It's an excellent, you know, it's a 2.5-hour YouTube flick.
Wow.
And it covers so much stuff that I can't even begin to describe it to you. The guy's name is Brendan Hunt, and his website's brendanhunt.com. Again, I have no affiliation with this guy, but
understood.
I watched all full, you know, 2.5 hours worth of this YouTube film, and it is not by any means, you know, exciting or documentary like. It is a very dry breakdown of things that this kid like picked out of all the news media footage, everything he could find online, every bit of information that was out there, and he put it together in a documentary or
I'll take a look at it.
So check it out. That's all.
And what's the name of it again? Is it Sandy Hook Full Movie or Full Doc? What is it?
It's called The Sandy Hook Cover Up Full Movie. And okay, you'll recognize it. Young guy, you know, reading off of papers that he put it all together. 2.5 hours. And yeah, it's brendanhunt.com, I believe, is his website. I'm reading it off the screen right now. So
okay, gotcha.
Check it out.
Look, here's the thing. If whatever happened to those children up there, you know, once you become a father, you become a father to every child in the world. I just want the truth of the matter. That's all. I don't want a bunch of made up politicized nonsense, you know, that blames all of the people who didn't do it for something that happens. And I'm telling you, that looks fishy to me, where that guy looks at the camera and goes, I didn't do it.
I agree.
You know what I mean? Do you remember that Three Stooges deal where they're on the golf course and this guy walks up to the three of them and he says, did you pick up my ball? And so Mo says to Larry, did you pick up the gentleman's ball? And Larry goes, why no? And he goes, did you pick up the gentleman's ball? He goes, I did not. He goes, you did not what? I still didn't. And then he hits him in the belly and all these golf balls fall out. That's exactly what that looked like. I mean, when does a perpetrator, a suspect who's just been arrested, get a cameo on the TV to say, I didn't do it?
The stupid amount of characters in that whole scenario that are suspect is just beyond what I ever would have imagined had I not seen this. I mean, it was, you know, you don't, as a normal everyday citizen, you don't catch everything on the news. You don't see every eyewitness. You don't see every snippet.
Yeah, you weren't there.
Out there, and this kind of sums it up. And it's, you know, it's one of those things you just got to check out.
We'll look at it. You know, look, you sift through the chaff. You separate the wheat from the chaff. That's all. You have to do it. It's hardly nothing in this day and age where you just get bombarded with all this information, these different images, these different opinions, and you roll the emotion into it. And you know, before long, you've got a mess, and it wears you out, and you eventually abandon it because now it's time for the next event, and let's get distracted with that and sort of forget about this one. So we're still talking about 9/11.
I know. Every event, it's like selling ice cubes to Eskimos. It's one thing after another.
Yeah, we're still talking about John F. Kennedy, and this is the 50th year.
We are.
Yeah. Well, listen, I thank you a lot. I appreciate your call. Thank you very much. I bet they're getting kind of cold up there. Let's go way over yonder. Let's go to, looks like Dett in Tyler, Texas. Dette. First time caller.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing all good. Right.
I wanted to get your feedback on whatever this thing Obama's going to call it, his health care takeover, his mental care takeover.
Yeah.
And it's so scary to me because I've raised a grandchild that's autistic. And earlier while I was on hold, I heard an ad, I don't know if it was yours or not, about the vaccines and things, which he did not, and I was there, he did not show any signs of autism until after he got his second round of shots.
Yeah.
But now he's doing much better. He is in school. And the scary part is that he does get some, although he's mainstream, he does get some special exceptions and some help. And after this shooting and this mental health and all over TV, all they're talking about is, you know, well, we need to cure the mental health. We need to do something about the mental health. And I just have this horrible fear that, you know, all of these kids are going to be put on a list. And you don't see parents of children on the autism spectrum on TV. You see psychiatrists that recommend drugs. You see a lot of the news people giving their opinions who don't know really anything about it. And, you know, these kids are brilliant.
Yep.
You know, and everybody complains that, you know, we don't have scientists in the United States. Well, hell, we're sitting on a million of them in these children. But the schools don't know what to do with them. The parents are pretty much don't know what to do. I mean, you know, it's, you kind of a blind alley because you really just can't reach in there and know the right way to teach them or open up that brain. I mean, but you can tell. I mean, when they're 2 years old and can figure out how, a computer by themselves, I mean, you know, pretty brilliant.
Yeah, that would indicate some pretty high intelligence there. Now, let me ask you, I'm unclear on something. This is a child, your child?
It's my grandson.
It's your grandson. I'm sorry. I missed that. You said that. Now, are you suggesting that the administration of these vaccines induced this autism? Or did I get that wrong, too?
No, I am suggesting that.
Well, I kind of thought you were.
Yeah, and the thing that scares me right now so much is what's coming down the pipe with Obama. And I don't put a whole lot past that administration about what they're going to do with taking care of the mental health. And that's kind of what I wanted your feedback on.
Well, I'll tell you the truth. I guess maybe it's let's throw enough stuff. You know that expression. We can't use the full Mahdi expression, but you just throw enough stuff against the wall and see what sticks. And I really think that's what's going on now. I just saw a thing where the court told the administration, no, abuse of power. You cannot put in these appointees while, you know, the Senate's in recess or whatever it was. I think it's going to be a very busy year for the government. Attorney General Holder wanted to roll out some stuff. And his videoed, you know, verbal treaties about putting enough of a negative spin on firearms to make Americans turn away from them. It's like, well, tell you what, you clear up. Quit being so strident in your request for the courts to deny release of the Fast and Furious documents. It has put a bad taste in our mouths for idiots with firearms, like the two that wound up killing Brian Terry down there at the border with guns that your operation sent there. So I'll tell you what, when you come clean, maybe we'll comply, but until then, probably not. This is Coast to Coast AM. More of your calls when we come back.